evening, podcast listeners. This is the Outer Rim News Podcast, and I'm your host, Austin. And tonight, I know it's been a while. I know you guys missed us, and you're like, where you guys been? When are you going to come back? But you know what? Here we are. I know it's been a little while. Some minor family emergencies going on, and life just sometimes gets in the way. But, you know, we're always going to find our way back to the old computers so we can give y'all some of that sweet, sweet music. And tonight I have a great, great, great guy with me. Sometimes a horrible person, but he's a good guy. You may remember a little dude named Ray. What's up, Ray?
I'm doing all right, man. What's up? I'm out here in the field. And, please don't beat me. Please don't hit me.
Yeah. But, yeah, we don't have Ashley again. And I know last time we had our solo review and a little catch up. I know it's been a little bit, but like I said, man, you know, I know life has gotten in the way. I had a little bit of a family emergency, so I'm sure you've been twiddling your thumbs going like, all right, guys, when are we going to record? Because it was like, what, a month ago we did part one of our Stormtrooper podcast.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, so I'm sure everybody was just, they were hitting the message boards hard, you know, in the comment sections, just going nuts. When's that Stormtrooper? You know, we need that part two. So we're going to try to give it to you tonight. We're going to try because we've been saying we're going to do it, and we're going to do it. Sometimes it could, yeah, it's like The Incredibles. It's like The Incredibles 2. I just watched that tonight, and guess what? That was 14 years ago, okay? So, you know, come on. Give us a break.
And Disney's not endorsing that.
Exactly. But, yeah, man. So I think from the last time, I'm pretty sure, you know, basically we just kind of talking about the evolution of the Stormtrooper, which started with the Clone Troopers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we go through the cool little meaty parts of the Clone Wars and all that jazz. And pretty much, I think, you know, we'll kind of just briefly go through the Galactic Civil War, you know, that was going on during the original trilogy and kind of lead into, you know, what will become the First Order at that point. I mean, there's not really much to discuss, I would think, in terms of the history, because it still hasn't all been written. I'm sure we'll have lots of stuff that they'll give us, you know, in media soon. If they ever do it. But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, basically, you know, we had the Clone Wars. It was a big battle. You know, of course, we all know how that turned out. And with Order 66, we have all the clone troopers turning on the Jedi, and, you know, kind of a sad moment. But, you know, basically from there, I guess you would say that's the beginning of the Stormtrooper. And it was very odd. This is one thing I didn't really understand, because I would think that it would still be more, like, it would just be easier to keep going, like, just keep doing clones. But apparently, you know, at least based on new canon, basically, they keep the clone troopers around, but, you know, they age really quick. So, of course, they're gonna die out pretty soon. So you've got a 18 to 20 year gap there. So, you know, they start to kind of die out. So they're opening up Imperial academies, and now it's a, you know, free for all. Like, hey, anybody can be a Stormtrooper. As far as I know, it's still sort of a Homo sapiens only club, as you would say, because I feel like that's sort of, they're still going with the storyline that you know, Palpatine was pretty much anti-alien. I mean, he, you know, of course he had an entourage of different, you know, not just humanoids, but he had, you know, aliens and stuff in the government and in his little entourage and stuff. But I still feel like, you know, for the most part, he was very anti. I'll tell you this much. It seems like he was way more about, like, you know, like your hardcore, you know, your Wookiees and your, you know, like probably the Nemoidians and the, you know, like the Gungans on Naboo and all that stuff. You know, I'm pretty sure all of those were just weak aliens to him. So, you know, that's why you don't see them in Stormtrooper suits. I mean, I heard a rumor. Well, I mean, I think it wasn't a rumor, but it was like a little interesting story. One of the guys behind the scenes of Solo mentioned that, hey, we were thinking about doing Wookiee Stormtroopers. And I was like, oh, that would have been so horrible if they did that. I'm kind of glad they didn't. I mean, what do you think about that?
Hairy Stormtroopers.
Yeah, just fur poking out the arm joints and
disgusting.
The leg joints.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
I said that's how Palpatine is about it.
Yeah, yeah. He would just spit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dirty Wookiees. But now I just don't feel like it would have fit. You know, like, plus Wookiees are kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not saying they're savages, but they go on the beat of their own drum. You know, they're kind of their own beast. They just don't seem like they would be Stormtrooper material. I could definitely see them using Wookiees, and they did use them this way, but I could definitely understand using them more as like a brute force, like a, you know, just like a, what would you call it? The
slave labor.
Yeah, well, they're slave labor, but I'm saying in terms of combat, like if you want to use a Wookiee, you make him like a berserker or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, no, I couldn't see him, you know, being a soldier in that sense. But yeah, you know, so here we are. We're bringing in, you know, ordinary humans. So I feel like now you're getting into your more, because you're, you know, the humanistic side to it. You're not dealing with clones. You're not manufacturing. Mm-hmm. These are living, breathing humans. So I feel like the human error is going to increase. But at the same time, you're quadrupling the numbers. You know, I'm sure there's a lot more troopers now than there were clone troopers, and it'll just grow and grow and grow. Especially as you have more propaganda and you're hyping the Empire to be, you know, the the people of peace. I mean, they're basically, that's how they're looked at, is now we're in peace and we're the protectors and the, you know, the holders of the peace. And it's like, sure, yeah. But, you know, it makes sense because, you know, we, of course, the viewers know that's crap. That's not true. But, you know, just think about like your ordinary citizen on any of those planets. I mean, especially when you're, you know, I mean, what can you do? You know what I'm saying? You can't really rise up. I mean, it's really tough to do that, especially with that sort of a regime. So, you know, you sort of just look at it as, oh, it's a, you know, they're just like the police state. They're here to protect us, you know, whatever. So, course, you want to make a living.
Yeah,
so you're gonna go join the Empire. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but you gotta admit, like, even, you know, without our perspective, those people on the planets, when you see these guys in white armor and face, you know, their faceless symbols, you know, of the army, it kind of inspires a bit of intimidation.
You know, oh, definitely. I mean, they're stormtroopers.
Yeah, I mean, it was it just kind of goes back to that, you know, it kind of goes back to that kind of, if you look at kind of like a lot of dystopian literature or stuff like that, you know, one thing they like to use is, you know, you have, or like just like the mark of like evil army type stuff, like even in, you know, movies that use the army, God, what would be a good example? The Crazies. You know, when you see army people, you know, you see them like in their gas masks and stuff. When you see your authority figures without their faces, there's a intimidation factor, there's a scare factor, because you can't see the eyes of this person who's, you know, who could kill you at any moment.
And, right, definitely.
And so,
definitely.
I guess that kind of plays into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's either going to be intimidation, but, you know, after a while, even though you're being intimidated, even though you're in a, you know, I mean, it's like the Nazis, you know, it's, you have that presence after so long, you start to feel as like it's protection. And, you know, you never question, it's like, okay, well, you know, your parents have it under control, you know, whatever. I'm just going to do my thing, you know. And then, and of course, some people step up and they want to be in a trooper, or they want to be in the Empire in some way, want to be in the Navy or something, you know. They're gonna you know, contribute in some way, and maybe they think they're fighting for a greater good. Mm-hmm. Not knowing, you know, the behind the scenes. I mean, like, oh we're serving a Sith Lord, you know. So it's, you know, it's real tricky. But so, you know, now we've got the human element to the Stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. The clones start to die out pretty much. You still have some left over. It'd be interesting. I would like to maybe see more stories about some of the left behind Stormtroopers, like the ones that, of course, probably went on to be either officers, like higher officers in the military, or if they just stay a trooper, you know, they kind of stay out in the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be really cool. I would love to see a book that kind of focuses on that a little more. Mm-hmm.
And, well, we got a couple,
you know,
we got a little bit of a, you know, Well, we talked about it in the last one. You know, Lost Stars showed it a little bit of what it's like to be, you know, through the, going through the Imperial process. And also, you know, we kind of got a little taste of it in Solo this, you know, this go-around.
Yeah.
Well, not too much of the Imperial setup, but we did kind of see what the recruiting center looked like. And, you know, we did kind of see what it looks like for a grunt, you know, when they're out and what happens to them as they get thrown out, basically like cannon fodder.
Right.
And
no, definitely, yeah.
And I believe we saw an academy on Rebels, didn't we? On Lothal.
Yeah. There was an episode in the first season where you get to see the Imperial Academy that Ezra infiltrates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. So you got to really see that. I'm surprised they didn't throw in some sort of. I mean, we do end up seeing, like, you know, Wedge and I think what it was Wedge and Hobby, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So you do get some nods there from the expanded universe characters, but yeah, I mean, you start seeing these Imperial recruitment centers and these academies that are popping up and taking, you know, anybody they can, any well-bodied people. And and another thing too is you start to notice they start to kind of give you more of the different types of troopers. I mean, you start seeing we have like flame troopers and snow troopers, and there's in Solo we have the new Mimban troopers, so they're pretty much like the stormtroopers, or like I kind of related to like the sand troopers on Tatooine. But they're just real kind of like a dirty, like muddied suit. But I love the what was the planet in Solo during the train heist?
What, Vandor, I think.
Yeah, on Vandor, like you have those troopers.
Yeah,
they had like the big, almost like the big snow boots. You know, those. Those are really cool.
With the gravity-defying legs of steel.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Turning on your side, which you can still stay straight.
Right, right. Now, it would be funny, though, if they, because I haven't bought the guide yet, so I can research it more, but it would be funny if they actually do have, like, something in their legs, and so it's like there's some sort of support in the armor.
Yeah, I'd imagine there's some, like, maybe some type of exoskeleton or something to keep them,
right.
Yeah, keep them perpendicular.
You're right. And then we also see, which, I mean, it looks like they were pretty early on, you know, because they lasted for years, were the Death Troopers. That was one of those additions that I thought was really cool in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like they were sort of, I mean, they, you know, we do see that they were used elsewhere, but it seemed like, you know, they were mainly focused on being like the personal guard for old Director Krennic, you know. Mm-hmm. So you had these really wicked looking Death Troopers, and I want to say, like, I think Ashley didn't care too much for the design at first. I think before Rogue One came out, but I'm not sure his opinion now. And I could be wrong. I shouldn't speak for him, but I was in that same kind of boat. The helmet looked kind of weird to me whenever you first saw it, but it was like, you know, I wanted to see it in action and see, you know, how I felt. And I don't know. Those things were sinister. Like, whoever, I would like to know, that would be another thing. I would love to know the training process to become a Death Trooper, because they were just wicked. I mean, they had better guns. They had these weird, like, wicked look sounding, like, vocators, you know. They were really cool.
I'm looking at a picture of those troopers from Vandor. They're called Range.
Yeah.
They're Range Troopers. That was the name. Yeah, and looking at the boots, yeah, it does look like it's exoskeleton, yeah, if you look at it. Because it's like a giant, first off, it's like a giant, like, white box, basically, they're stepping into this kind of boot-shaped. But then if you kind of look at it close, it looks like there is, like, a little bit of an exoskeleton going on the outside of the leg. So, yeah, I can kind of, yeah, it makes sense then.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, we start to really, and you know, that's a theme throughout Star Wars, is that they, as each movie progresses, you know, you don't want to just have a stormtrooper all the time. I mean, just a plain old stormtrooper. They have to mix it up. So you get your snow troopers, you get your death troopers.
The sand troopers.
Yeah, you get your sand troopers.
Well, they're basically just stormtroopers that decided to put a piece of leather on their shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they just found, it's like, hey, this will look cool.
I bet there's rivalry too. I mean, it's probably just like, oh, you serve on a story, you know, Star Destroyer, like, ooh, you know, oh, you know, what about you Dusties or whatever they call them? You know, I'm sure they have like slang words for them, you know, like having to,
where's your
having
giant,
to run around on a planet.
Where's your giant comb to help you comb the desert?
Right, exactly. Exactly, man. But you know, it's pretty neat. But you know, each movie they definitely have to introduce like a fresh look, you know, so mm-hmm. that you just, number one, you sell more toys, and then it just keeps yep. it interesting. So I feel like I really like the Scout Troopers whenever they introduce those.
Oh yeah,
in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Those are good. I actually got held up by one of those outside of Solo. Remember?
Oh yeah, I had one too. I think we were at the same theater.
Yep.
And I think it was the 501st we're attending. I don't know why. It was kind of weird. It was kind of late. You know, it wasn't like opening night of Solo, but they had 501st there, and mm-hmm. I walking down this hall, we're going to exit out the back of the building, and then right around the corner come the Imperial officer, and he's got two stormtroopers, and then me and Candy are like, whoa. And I ended up, you know, fist bumping them and telling them they did a good job. I mean, they were like really detailed. I thought that was,
yeah,
they really
looked, they look like they could like be on a movie, on like a Star Wars movie set and fit.
Yeah,
right,
definitely
in.
Yeah. Which, you know, 501st, shout out to them. They all do a good job.
Yeah.
You know, they show up to Dragon Con and in the nines, man. They do good there too. But yeah, you know, now we're seeing, you know, the kind of, we're in the modern age of the stormtroopers. So during the Galactic Civil War, you have, you have all this going on. And mm-hmm. and when you get towards like the wrap up, you know, when we're in Return of the Jedi and we lead into like the Battle of Jakku, we're kind of seeing the Imperials are scattered, you know, and there's only like small remnants, and they try to make a last big hurrah at the Battle of Jakku.
Mm-hmm.
And there is where we kind of find out if, and, you know, you had to kind of read, there's the Aftermath trilogy of books that you had to have read. And also there's the sequences in the Battlefront 2 game where you kind of learn a little bit more about this, what's called the contingency, which was like a plan that Palpatine had, so that if something ever happened to him, it would be this plan that they would draw like everybody to Jakku and pretty much just destroy the planet, destroy the remnants of the Empire with like a small group to basically, you know, hide away in the Outer Rim to rebuild and regroup.
Because wasn't Palpatine justification for it was an empire that cannot protect its leader does not deserve to survive or something like that? I think
exactly. Yeah. That's pretty much it. I mean, if you basically, it's like if you've gotten to this point, you failed, and so I'm going to
burn
start
my toy
over.
Books
We're
down.
Gonna reboot. Yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. So yeah, you know, we kind of see this happen, kind of all led by this dude named Gallius Rax, kind of a sneaky little devil. You know, he's pretty much the Emperor's protege, I guess, you know, his next in line, at least how he feels. He thinks he is. But yeah, I mean, of course, you know, they do get away. I think it was called like Operation Cinder. Is that what they called it? Where it was basically like just burning everything down.
I believe so. Cause that was the one that was mentioned also in Battlefront 2, where they were, and they also mentioned it in, one of the comic series, post Return of the Jedi comic series. Oh God, what was the name
yeah.
of it?
I'm trying to remember. It was,
Shattered Empire. Was that it?
Probably. I believe so, because
I think
then
that
you
was
have
the first mention of it, because they tried to do that operation on Naboo.
Yeah, Naboo and Vardos were the other two. And then Naboo, yeah. especially, because you're like, oh God, that's where the Emperor came from.
Yeah.
So he's probably like trying to erase any history there, so you can't really find out anything. So
no loyalty there.
So yeah, so here we are, you know, they're able to basically get away, in the guise of the, you know, of the Rebel Alliance finally winning and becoming the New Republic.
God, but you got to wonder though, like, what were these, you know, especially the top officers, what were they thinking, you know, blindly following these plans of a dead leader, you know, the stuff like, we're going to literally burn planets to the ground, and none of them have any, like, it got ridiculous at some points, like in Battlefront 2 especially. I was just wondering, like, how how ridiculously loyal are you to a dead man that you're willing to murder so many people?
Right.
And how it kind of started to lean into that. You have to be insanely loyal to a point where it's like Nazism almost. Like you're just,
yeah.
It is almost like baffling how some of them would be. And you're kind of glad, you know, some characters actually turned against it.
Right. No, definitely. And you would think, I mean, it's why would you do this? I mean, you're kind of going overboard. And I mean, it's not like, oh, well, you know, it's too late now. Let's just keep going.
What would it be like, you know, watching an assistant, you know, seeing Operation Cinder go down, he's standing beside the commander who's letting it happen. He's like, you know, there are people dying down there, right? Yes. There are people, right? Yes. Are we the bad guys? It just makes me think about that Mitchell and Webb skit about, like, have you seen that skit before? That Mitchell and Webb book?
It's been so long since I've seen that show, I can't remember.
Go back and watch it when you get a chance. Anybody who's listening, you know, go look it up. It's, I think it's, oh God, that Mitchell Webb look. You could probably just look up that Mitchell Webb look, Nazis. But basically, they were playing two Nazis that are, like, I think part of the SS. And one of them is asking, did you ever notice that we have skulls on our hats? Skulls. It's like, yeah, it's like the skulls of our enemies, but why skulls? It's just nothing. And he kind of keeps going about, you know, different stuff that they're doing that just seems irrational. And it finally just says, are we the baddies? And the guy's kind of, he has to take a pause, and he's like, I think that's kind of where the skit ends. I have to watch it again, but that just always makes me think about the Empire sometimes with some of the ridiculous stuff they would do. You got to imagine somebody's, you know, taking a pause and wondering, like, are we really the good guys here? Are we really protecting the galaxy right now?
Exactly. I mean, I feel like, you know, and you already mentioned it before, I feel like Lost Stars, like, if people want a great perspective from both sides, and mainly, like, if you want to get an alternative, you know, viewpoint from the Empire's perspective, yeah, definitely Lost Stars would be a good option, because, you know, you kind of see where some of the people are coming from, like, where their passion's coming from, and it really all kind of, like, I feel like they try to make it stem from, like, the Death Star, the first Death Star when it was destroyed, because, you know, of course people lost their lives there, you know, and, I mean, heck, even Kevin Smith, you know, he was the first one to really bring that conversation up in his debut movie, Clerks. You know, they have a discussion about the contractors that are on the Death Star. Oh, they all got blown up too, you know. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the blind loyalty and just the obsessive, you know, like, riding this train to the wheels fall off kind of mentality. It's so odd. But yeah, I mean, they all pretty much, you know, they hightail it to the Outer Rim, you know, minus Gallus Rax. I think basically he set it up where – if everybody remembers, you know, his son Armitage Hux in the new Star Wars movies. I mean, Hux, you know, he's an evil little brat, a little redheaded ginger brat. But his father was pretty much the guy that was kind of set up to lead the new order. The new First Order is what we'll eventually see it become. But yeah, it's so odd because you have the Grand Admiral Ray Sloan that kind of went along with them, and General Brendel Hux, you know, and they go off to with a bunch of these kids and all this, you know, these younger people to start back up the First Order, you know. After, I mean, I'm sure it takes 30 years, obviously, but they slowly come back into power. We see Snoke kind of sneak his way in and become the supreme leader and take over the First Order and then make it what we see it as in The Force Awakens. And an interesting thing, too, they mention in The Force Awakens. Actually, you know what? Before I get to that, let me back up. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But they, you know, we also see, like, Brendel Hux is recruiting, you know, these different people to try to help mold these stormtroopers. And that's where we come into Phasma. If anybody hasn't read the book Phasma by Delilah S. Dawson, I would highly recommend it. It's actually a decent book. I mean, it's got a really cool backstory to Phasma, and it has like a kind of a Mad Max feel that interchanges between, like, you know, the stuff prior to Force Awakens, and then you flash back to her past on that. I'm trying to remember the name of the planet she come from. Oh Lord, what was it called? Was it Parnassos?
Chronium,
or something like that.
I was making that up.
I mean, like, it's something weird. I want to say, like,
I can't.
They.
I'll find it up.
I think it was Parnassus, if I'm saying that correctly. But because he crash lands on that planet,
Parnassus,
and that's basically, you know, he finds Phasma and sees a lot of potential in her, brings her back to the First Order, and you know basically makes her a captain, and she trains their stormtroopers, and it's very, very cool. This was probably my favorite a new addition to the series. Like, for whatever reason, Phasma was just an awesome character to me. I feel like she was still not quite as utilized as I would like in the movies. She was, you know, she still wasn't in the second movie as much. I mean, the first movie she wasn't, you know, in as much, and didn't really have any action scenes like I thought. But the second one, she had more action, but she still only came in the last act, or last, well, no, it wasn't the last act, but you know, you would say the second act before the crate finale.
I would say, like, that'd be probably the third act, because
I don't know if you would say it third or
five. Because I would almost call, like, because this, you know, because, you know, Last Jedi, I like to kind of play off the beaten path a little bit. Because I want to say, like, a lot of people consider, like, The Last Jedi to be one of the first Star Wars movies to use, like, a four-act structure, basically.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you kind of look at the beats, yeah, it almost plays out in four acts, I think. Because, you know, you'd seem like the third act would end, you know, with all the stuff that happened on the ship. But then it kind of goes down to Crate, and then you have the, you know, the big finale there. So, yeah, I would say almost probably, I think, four acts maybe.
Okay. So, yeah, that sounds right. So, yeah, like, you know, she comes back in the third act and kind of has her big moment. But yeah, I thought her character was just really cool character. I really loved how they came up with her armor, because, I mean, she's got the chrome armor, and I'm like, oh man, that just looks badass. And then come to find out she used parts like of the Naboo starship hull that Palpatine used. So she's basically got a link to the original Emperor.
Whoa, I didn't know
that. I was
that.
Like, wow, that's pretty sinister. And she uses basically a preliminary design of the new stormtroopers, like of the First Order stormtroopers. It was like some pre-viz design that she had found and kind of used that as her own, so that she would kind of have her own unique look.
So
I thought that was really cool.
So you're saying, so she's using the, like, the hull plating from, are you saying the ship from Episode One?
No, not from Episode One, but a Naboo ship, like, because they were, you know, a lot of them were, you know, they
similar.
Were like chrome plated ships.
I was about
so
to
she
say,
was
like,
using pieces of. He had like a, I guess, his own personal yacht.
Yeah.
On Naboo, and she found that ship and basically used pieces off the hull to craft the armor.
Okay.
So that's, I thought that was really. I thought that was a really good. That's also why you see, like, It's probably got a way better, like, reflective surface than normal stormtrooper armor, because you see she gets shot and it just bounces off of her. So that was pretty neat that they include that, and the fact that, you know, it's kind of a unique design, kind of like it's a prelude to the First Order stormtroopers. And And speaking of them, like, the new armor for the First Order stormtroopers, I really dug it a lot. I really liked the helmet design, and I liked that there was not as much. I don't know. They kind of slimmed the design down a lot, and then the helmets, just, I don't know. They just had this look. It's almost like an evil grin on the faces. I'm not sure if you got that vibe, but I kind of get that vibe from them when I see them.
Yeah. Well, they kind of. It's almost like they kind of spread the black out a little bit. You know, the black lining. It's kind of like, you know, the designers are playing, you know, obviously a little bit on that nostalgia factor, but, you know, by wanting to do, you know, I mean, it's a tried and true tactic when you're coming, you know, with any kind of design thing, is make it familiar but new. Like,
right,
almost exactly. With, like, even with storytelling, you know, it's a basic thing. Like, I remember, like, my screenwriting teacher would tell us stuff like, you know, a great story that a lot of people will like is something that's, you know, familiar but new. So, I mean, you know, if you go too out there, you know, you run the risk of, you know, people not digging it. But if you kind of have something that they can anchor to, like a connection, you know, to something that they do know and they can relate to already, then you know, have a better chance of, you know, getting their attention. And, yeah, it kind of seems like what they did a little bit with the design. But also, you know, it kind of plays into the story that they're trying to tell, is, you know, that the Empire didn't completely die. You know, it's, you know, kind of being reborn as this new thing. So it's not going to be exactly the same, but there are, you know, you can see the remnants of what was before.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and they definitely have that attitude of, like, you know, we're going to take the elements that worked from before, but we're not going to fall into the same problems as the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and they really do play the whole behind-the-scenes thing. I mean, they did a really good job. I mean, I guess probably because of Snoke, but of playing the New Republic, because the New Republic didn't see them as a threat. So here you are, you've got this new organization that's really not being taken seriously. And here they are, they've got a Starkiller base that's, like, you know, three or four times the size of a Death Star. Mm-hmm. You've got, they're training new troopers, and they're, you know, they're growing their military, you know. So it's like you have Phasma here that's helping train these new recruits, and you know, they're supposed to be really good. I mean, if you look, I mean, they're even great at, like, melee combat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that this is just my thoughts, but I'm pretty sure that they're probably trained to put up some sort of fight with Jedi, you know, because they use those like the stun batons or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And
they can actually hold back a lightsaber blade.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, I feel like that was intentional, so that in those types of situations, mm-hmm. they would be able to defend themselves in some way. I mean, still wouldn't work that well, but they would at least have a fighting chance. But yeah, so these are pretty ruthless stormtroopers. I mean, I think they're way better trained, it seems like, because, you know, the whole joke about the stormtroopers have the worst aim, you know, these guys were probably better. I mean, they were definitely better trained.
And there's also another thing is, you know, there's the implication, you know, that they've been they were child soldiers, basically, you know, raised mm-hmm. to be soldiers from kids instead of, you know,
right, exactly.
voluntarily joining exactly. academy. You know, when you're a teenager, they were taken from a really even younger age, most likely, and, you know, raised basically to just, you know, follow your orders, you know, kill when, you know, you're told to kill and stuff like that. And, you know, instead of, you know, already being, you know, someone who's developed a personality, you know, you know, as you would have been, you know, more likely, you know, with the old way, with the old stormtroopers.
Right. No, definitely, yeah. And it's actually a really good idea. I mean, without going into the clone territory, which it looks like, you know, like Kylo Ren, I feel like he wanted to go in that route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he felt like they were still too flawed, and that maybe we should, you know, they should go into the back into the ideas of using clones.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was, you know, that's an interesting take, and I feel like that may have something to do. We may kind of see that come to fruition in the next movie. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing that they go away, since there's probably going to be a time jump, and then they'll maybe go back to Kamino and get a hold of the cloning tanks or whatever, and start a new clone army or something like that. Because I mean, now they've pretty much taken over everywhere, so they pretty much have the whole galaxy to themselves now. They can go to any planet and do what they need to do.
I mean, like, so, Jeff's not doing anything, man. He's just sitting there waiting to clone some more.
Exactly.
It's, exactly. It's like, oh, man, did you hear? They're coming this way. I think they want to make some more clones. Oh.
Hot diggity dog.
You better.
So, yeah, let's fire them up. So, yeah, man, it's kind of crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the return of clone soldiers in the next movie. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, we that's pretty much where we're at this point. I mean, we had this new thriving First Order that kind of rose from the ashes of the Empire, and they're here to stay. And as we see in The Last Jedi, it's pretty bleak. I mean, their plans worked out pretty well for themselves. I mean, Snoke and Kylo Ren, you know, they definitely knew what they were doing, and they were able to execute the plan pretty well. I mean, there were some hiccups, of course, and they didn't fully eliminate the threat, you know, the opposition, but you know, they come pretty darn close. So we're pretty much back to square one.
So a quick question, Nick, you know, because this is the whole post Return of the Jedi kind of era is still, you know, you're a bit more of an expert at it than me. So was Snoke, was he kind of just piggybacking onto the whole rebirth thing and then he took over?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I mean, because he wasn't there in the beginning. Yeah, it was Gallius Rax and Admiral Sloan. Mm-hmm. And just at some point afterwards, after they went into the Outer Rim, which is that, I mean, that's why I'm hoping that we get the backstory to Snoke, like where he came from and things like that. So he had to have came from the Outer Rim because I mean, that's basically
Outer Rim or the Unknown Regions?
Or the Unknown Regions. I don't know why I keep saying the Outer Rim. The Unknown Regions. Thank you.
Rebuilt on Tatooine?
But yeah. Huh?
They rebuilt the whole First Order on Tatooine. That's why we didn't see it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like nobody knew.
Why would they?
It was
they?
Inside the Sarlacc pit.
Nobody cares.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah, nobody cares about Tatooine. But no, I mean, out in the Unknown Regions, you have them rising back up. And Snoke had to have come from the Unknown Regions and sunk his claws into the First Order. I mean, this was his ride back to the top. But I'm sure there's a lot more to it. I mean, that's why I can't, like, despite what, you know, happened in The Last Jedi, I can't give that character up so easily. He seems like there's something there. And that's why I feel like we haven't even seen the end of him. Like, somehow I feel like he's going to make a return in the next movie. But yeah, man, like, I don't know where he came from. I mean, he just shows up, takes over, and now he's the big boss. What happened to Sloane? I don't know. They haven't wrote that story yet. That's another interesting thing.
You look like you're in need of a leader. Would you like me, this old crinkly man covered in osteoporosis? Would you like that?
He was like, I was an old soldier.
Come here, boy. Come here. Let me lead you.
Yeah, be a patriot.
It's like, just but, please don't. Don't
but yeah,
touch me,
that's
don't touch me.
That's pretty much it. I mean, he kind of snuck his way in there after all of it was set into motion, and he's used it for his own gain. And don't know where he came from.
Well, I wonder if he looked like that when he came onto the scene. If he was all banged up and scarred looking.
Right. I mean, that's definitely a good question. Like, I feel like.
Well, I want to say one of the visual guides mentioned that maybe, like, Luke and him may have clashed maybe at one point before Luke disappeared.
Right. I do know that he basically was behind the whole, the whole Luke losing the Jedi Order to, because Kylo Ren, because he manipulates Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, I wonder if there was some sort of a clash between
physical
him and Luke at some point. It would be pretty awesome if they did. I'd love to see that play out in a story somewhere. So, I mean, pretty much at that point, you know, we're caught up. That's sort of the history of the Stormtroopers. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, where do you think it's going to go from here?
Episode 9. That's where it's going to go.
But do you think they're going to? I mean, do you think they're going to win the day, or do you think we're not going to see the end of the Stormtroopers after episode 9?
Depends on. I think this comes down more to . It's hard to say in universe wise because, you know, my first instinct is I'm thinking big picture story wise, whereas in what is the Lucasfilm story group thinking about it? And I don't know, if they think that they can finish the story definitively, because I'm of the, with all the stuff they're planning right now, I'm of the thought that they're not planning to do any more episode movies after 9. Because, you know, they've been really pushing this whole thing about getting away from the Skywalker stuff, which, I mean, it seemed a little pointless, like, to push it like that. Like, is in, you know, to me, it's like, okay, tell another story then. You know, you don't... you and me have read plenty of stories that don't need Skywalkers in them. You know, they were great. You know, KOTOR and all that. I think it just depends on what they want to do next. You know, if they want to take a story that's like 100 years in the future in another part of the galaxy, then yeah, I doubt we'll see any type of stormtrooper type people there. But then again, you know, with Star Wars, they like they like the faceless army bad guys. They make, you know, good villains for, you know, a film, you know, or any story like, oh God, what was the name of the... did they have names in KOTOR? They weren't called stormtroopers, I don't think. But the galactic troopers, the galactic empire troopers,
right?
They dressed in the chrome. You know, they were kind of like the stormtroopers of that era. Mm-hmm. I guess it just depends on, you know. I mean, and that's, you know, for that type of story, you know, PG-13, you know, where you can have violence of killing. Without, it doesn't feel as wrong when you can't see the face, I guess.
Right, definitely. Even like in the Disney cartoons, now they're blowing them up and just murdering stormtroopers left and right.
Kanan,
get away with it.
What was it? Kanan threw the, when he threw the grenade in the very first episode to that stormtrooper.
So relieved by that too. I'm like, oh, thank God they're not pulling punches in this. Like, they're going all
instead
in.
Of like going back to a camera shot and just seeing like the stormtrooper sitting on his butt, like holding his head, like, oh man, he got me so good.
Yeah.
That explosion wrecked my ship, but thankfully this armor protected me.
Right.
But I actually,
it's tough, man. Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know where they could go from here. Yeah. I mean, I have a feeling that they won't end it. Like, they'll keep them going in some way, but it would be nice if we did have just a good wrap up, just kind of like, you know, leave it be, kind of end it, and then maybe the new trilogies will kind of carry on with something else.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just get a whole new story that starts way off in the future or something like that.
I would say we haven't seen at least the end of like faceless military bad guys, but I would say we might see a completely new design, which would be, I'd love the idea of that, because, you know, like, they went with a really different design when they made the, like I was mentioning earlier, the KOTOR Empire stormtrooper types. You know, I could see them doing that, where they'll, like, you know, like I mentioned, you know, familiar but new, but, like, they could do it, you know, leaning more toward the new, so you could have some completely new, you know, idea of what your villain, you know, henchman will look like. You could, it might even be alien based.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, you know, that was the big thing they did in the old canon, where it was, we had the invasion of the Yuuzhan Vong,
which were
just like this crazy alien race that just took over everything, and they were ruthless, and they were, I mean, it was a completely different ball game, completely different from the Empire. And they were wiping it out left and right. I mean, they took over Coruscant. I mean, they were taking over the galaxy like it was nothing. So it would be interesting if they kind of borrow from that playbook and go with like a alien invasion force of some kind.
Well,
I wonder how that would play out.
Well, they have been mentioning, like, there have been, well, not rumblings or anything like that, but if you look around at behind the scenes stuff, there, they have been toying with the idea, because there is concept art, I think, that was unused for, I think, Clone Wars. It was Filoni or somebody on the show, but like there was like unused Yuuzhan Vong concept art. Like, they were thinking about, you know, if the show kept going, like the species at least would be introduced.
Right.
So I would say in some form of media, like, if not the movies, maybe one of the TV series, like, who knows, maybe even Jon Favreau's series, or that Resistance series, the Resistance series coming up. I could see that maybe even touching on them if they wanted to.
Yeah, but, I mean, I definitely could see that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yep,
but, you know, I guess that's it for this episode. We'll kind of, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up. That's, you know, we've made it to the end. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that the beautiful fans are just going to light our comments up about, like, oh, what about this or what about that? But, you know, look, it's midnight. You know, we try to recap as best we can. I had a good time doing it. I love me some Stormtroopers.
Was their aim?
They're iconic.
Yeah. Actually, so, yeah. If they're, I do want to ask them, like, if maybe there's stuff that they like, maybe want to suggest that we could look into, like what kind of topics would be fun to look at.
Definitely. Yeah, we're always. About. I mean, every yeah. you know, yeah, we're always open to suggestions. Guys can always, you know, comment. You know, you can tweet at us. Any of that stuff, you can just let us know if there's a subject that you want us to kind of go down, like a new subject to talk about. I'd be more than happy to do it. But yeah, so if you want to do that, you can always find us at our website at outerrimnews.com. You can talk to us on all the different social media sites like Twitter. You can tweet us, whatever you want to do at Outer Rim News. You can Facebook us at facebook.com/OuterRimNews, or you can gram us at instagram.com/OuterRimNews. But also remember that the podcast is not endorsed or supported by Disney or Lucasfilm. It's all for entertainment purposes, so all the names and sounds are copyright, and they're registered trademarks of Disney and their respective copyright holders. So, yeah, I guess we're going to have a good night. I bid you adieu, and see you later, Ray.
Auf Wiedersehen.